Give me liberty
or give me death.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
I'm Ami Horowitz, and I'm back in the East Village, liberal Mecca. The Republicans recently voted on a new tax proposal, and predictably, Democrats didn't like it. But what if they thought that the Republican plan was actually a Bernie Sanders proposal? We've presented them with the Republican tax plan and pretended that it was in fact Bernie's plan. What are your thoughts? Republican tax plan, good, bad?
I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like there's just another excuse for the rich people to get a break on having to pay taxes that the rest of us hardworking people have to pay.
It doesn't have much stuff in it for the middle class working Americans, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you've heard.
It seems like the middle class is going to get hit pretty hard here.
They suck. They all suck.
I mean, there's a lot about the current proposed tax plan that's just ridiculous.
So Bernie came out with a competing plan. I want to give you some of the deal points and kind of get a sense of what you think of his deal points.
Okay.
So if you're making $50,000 or less, most family of four will not pay any taxes at all.
Okay. I think that's a good plan, yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Double the child tax credit from $1,000 to
$2,000. $2,000.
What do you think about that?
That's a good plan.
He's lowering corporate taxes from 35% to 21%.
Lowering corporate taxes?
Yes. 35.
Okay.
If you take out a mortgage for more than $750,000, you're going to end up paying more in taxes on that.
I could definitely side with that.
The more money you make,
yeah,
the more of a percentage of your income you have to pay to taxes.
Yeah, I know that people who make a lot of money aren't going to like that, but like, that's just how it is.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly, right? 1%? Yeah.
He keeps the Obama-era tax credits for clean energy.
Yeah. He keeps the Obama-era tax credit.
So
yeah.
Oh,
100,000 billion percent.
What do you think of Bernie's tax plan?
It's fantastic.
Do you feel the burn? Do you find those things to be good, bad?
I find them to be good for the most part.
Seems like a good thing.
Yeah, I like that.
I think that's a step in the right direction.
I love Bernie. I voted for him.
Yeah, sad.
I miss Bernie more now than ever.
Overall, give it an A+.
Yeah.
A+?
Yeah. It's all just rational with Bernie, and with Trump, it's not.
Now, what if I tell you these are all in Trump's tax plan?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, this is one of those things.
One of those things. What if I were to tell you that that's all in the Republican tax plan?
Is it?
What if it was?
Is it?
It is.
I know. But why aren't they showcasing those aspects of it then?
They should be, right?
Yeah.
So what if I were to tell you that all of this was in the Republican tax plan?
Really? Well, that's really interesting.
What if I were to tell you that all that stuff was a Republican tax plan?
Oh, wow.
Well, then that's all right then.
Would you rethink your position on it?
Yeah.
But it making maybe reconsider and take a closer look at it to see if it made more sense?
Sure. I mean, definitely.
Do you think now knowing what's in that plan, you might be more open to supporting it?
Yeah.
I'm going to look into this because that is not what I expected.
This would be the first time I would sit here and say, well, the Republicans might be doing something well.
Yeah, I'm curious. Thanks for opening my mind to that.
I'm back. As a proud member of the 75%, I do need some help to make these videos. Now that you're getting back a fat tax deduction from President Trump's tax bill, hopefully you can send some of that my way so I can make more of these videos.
All right. And the fallout, the horrible fallout from Trump's tax plan continues. Here's another story. Bank of America paying $1,000 tax cut bonuses to 145,000 American workers. Oh my God. Look at it. It's continuing. Follows on the steps of AT&T. That's right. They're going to give them a special one-time bonus, $1,000 each. There you go. That's the proof is in the pudding. People like the tax plan, corporations like it, and American workers are going to benefit from it. Now, if you don't want to work, well, maybe you have the problem. Maybe you're part of the problem. We'll be right back. You're watching The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Is the War Room.
Welcome to the War Room. Every day, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central, we are live here in the InfoWars Central Texas Command Center. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thank you for watching. This will be, it looks like, our last show before Christmas Day. So I want to just go ahead and wish everybody right now a Merry Christmas, and I'll probably do it again at the end of the show. So if that makes your ears bleed, change the channel. Now, I do have some breaking news to go over. Here it is out of San Francisco CBS Local. FBI arrest man for alleged Pier 39 Christmas Day terror plot. Now, what is Pier 39? If you've ever been to San Francisco, it's a place where people go to shop. There's a lot of little shops. They have the sea lions out sunbathing on the wharf, so you can take pictures of them. I think one time they jumped in and pulled a little girl in at one time. They got her out, but that's the kind of stuff that goes on in the San Francisco Pier 39. Well, they've announced they've arrested a man offering to carry out a terrorist attack on Christmas Day. And he looks like an Irish Muslim, I guess. Must be one of those new Irish Muslims. 26-year-old Everett Aaron Jameson, that's Irish if there ever was an Irish name, was arrested in his home in Modesto on Wednesday morning. According to the criminal complaint, Jameson detailed his plans, this is key, with an undercover FBI agent. James indicated that Pier 39 would be a good target because it was a heavily crowded area. He also suggested Christmas Day would be a perfect day for an attack, and that's a quote. Jameson also said to another FBI agent that he did not need an escape plan and was ready to die. The plot seemed to unravel earlier this week. Jameson had told the agent he had second thoughts about carrying out the plan, but they had enough evidence to search his Modesto home. So the guy got cold feet. Who knows how he was being put into this situation. Now, Jameson did have prior military experience graduating from basic recruit training in the U.S. Marine Corps in 2009, earning the sharpshooter rifle qualification. He was later discharged for a fraudulent enlistment for failing to disclose that he had latent asthma, probably brought on by vaccines. But I digress. Now, why is it so important that we talk about these undercover FBI agents? Because it's come out time and time again. Guys, you can pull up the articles real quick. I had them pull these up during the break. Why does the FBI have to manufacture its own plots if ISIS and if terrorism and if ISIS are such grave threats? And this goes through the list. This is by Glenn Greenwald, of different plots that were thwarted by the FBI. And this is not an attack on the FBI. This is just an observation I'm making, that the FBI seems to love to groom people to get into these situations and then swoop in and play the hero of the day. Like I said, this is not an attack against the FBI. I don't personally like the strategy. We've had on this show before, I forget his name right now, but he was part of the group, Ahmad Salam, I believe was his name. And he was supposed to create a bomb and help these guys bomb the World Trade Center when it first got bombed in the 90s. Well, he decided that he didn't want to go through with it because the FBI agents were telling him to make a bomb that worked, and he didn't like that idea. So he started taping the FBI agents. And this all came out later in books. We've had the man on the break before. But here's another one from New York Times. Terrorist plots hatched by the FBI. Now, there's one in particular where the FBI had some goods on this landlord, this guy who was a landowner, not a big landowner, but he owned some properties around Ohio. And they got him on something. And in order to cut a deal, he went and got these housemates. He had six or seven guys living in a house together in Ohio, and he talked them into, y'all should go blow up this bridge. So he started building this plot for these guys to go blow up a bridge, and they all got arrested. You guys could search this. It's Ohio Bridge. It's these young men that you show them. They don't look like the sharpest knives in the drawer there. But this is what happens. People get in trouble with the FBI, so then they go, you know what? I could help you. I could find this guy. Maybe this guy had a friend who was working with the FBI that led him on this trail. Who knows? What I'm saying is, when we see the words detailed plans with an undercover FBI, five men charged to blow up bridge, other targets discussed. Scroll up, guys, and see if you can see what these guys look like. There should be photos of the young men there. They just don't look too bright. But it's really interesting that we always see the FBI working with these terrorists and then coming in to save the day. Now, there was talk that Elohim City, where Timothy McVeigh was supposedly from, even though it seems like he just showed up there, was also a cutout of people working with the Southern Poverty Law Center and the FBI to kind of groom people to create a right-wing hysteria. So we see this time and time again. But here it is, headline, FBI arrest man for alleged Pier 39 Christmas Day terror plot. Thank God it didn't happen. That's great. But I do have reason to question how this all came about. Anytime you see these guys working with FBI undercover agents, and this is two different agents at this time. Whew. Now, I'll get to another FBI story. FBI chief says report on Las Vegas shooting expected by anniversary. Now, Aaron Rouse is the special agent in charge there in the FBI. And if you ever watch those press conferences like I did, I watched every one where the sheriff is standing there trying to talk. He's not very comfortable in front of the camera. And Agent Rouse is always over his left-hand shoulder giving him a look like this. You better be sticking to the story. And looking at him just like this. So now we have a video where Agent Rouse actually finally speaks on camera. Of course, he's not taking any questions. But here's what he had to say about the upcoming report.
The FBI has absolutely nothing to do with the fund distribution or that any of the decisions related to that. We provide only and have provided only whatever identifying information we have on the victims that were obtained through the victim witness advocates to ensure that... The accuracy of what we know is provided to the Metropolitan Police, and that's our only role is to...
So you're not doing, like, proactive verification in, you know, to help the fund figure out how much people should...
No, that's not our role. So our role is strictly pursuant to the support of the investigation. And any of the identifying data we have on the victims has been shared with the Metropolitan Police as our primary partner in this.
So nothing about the motive, of course. We're never going to hear about that. Even though some guy runs over people in New York, we immediately know him, his family, where he lives, everything. Another guy has a failed pipe bomb explosion in New York. We know everything about him when he came into the country. Know nothing about James Paddock. We're never going to find out. I can tell you this, as long as the FBI stays in charge of the investigation. He said also, now that's quite a long time for some people, but speaking for the FBI, that's light speed. When he said they're going to release this on October 1st of 2018, which would be the 1 year anniversary. And the questions of motive gone unanswered. And just 10 days into the massacre, Joe Lombardo was largely unpromising whether a motive could ever be determined. So they're never going to know why this guy did what he did, yet we know everything about migrants that come in. We know their life history. We have their Facebook profiles, but nothing about James Paddock. And the reason I bring the FBI report, it's going to come out in 1 year, which he said is light speed. We're going to have later on in the show Matt Dubiel from WCKG in Chicago to cover this article. Sandy Hook denier Alex Jones showed to be beamed from Trump's Chicago Tower. There it is. So people are up in arms about, oh, the Sandy Hook denier, Alex Jones. But here's the interesting part. We still don't know what happened in Sandy Hook. We still don't know what happened. It's 5 years. This is from the Hartford Courant. 5 years after Sandy Hook shooting, state police have not released a report on response. So 5 years later, we don't know what steps were taken, what needed to be changed. When the shooting happened in Virginia Tech, the police released a report very quickly afterward. And what happened? Now in every college, they have every student's cell phone and they're connected to a emergency texting service. So if something happens like that again, a mass text goes out. That's why you always hear about it. We got a mass text because they came up with that idea after that shooting. So 5 years later, we don't know what the police did. We don't know how they did it, so we can make changes. After Columbine happened, they made the decision that now police would go in. They would not wait for backup. They would go in and try to stop the shooter. Of course, we don't know anything about Sandy Hook because we don't get a report. Stay tuned. We're going to have much more. I have a Reverend Clinton Childress on coming up as well to talk about what's going on in abortion news and pro-life news. We'll be right back after this. You're watching The War Room, Infowars.com/show.
So this is Christmas.
are back live on the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thank you for joining us. Once again, the free links that you can send out to people to watch the show for free. Infowars.com/show has all the shows that play here. We do 10 hours a day, starting at 8 a.m. with David Knight and the Real News. And then at 11 a.m., the Alex Jones Show. And then at 3 o'clock, you have the War Room, which is where you're at right now. Now, my guest coming up next segment is the Reverend Clennard Childress, who works out of a small but very powerful group out of New Jersey, in Newark, New Jersey. And basically, he's concerned with black lives, especially the ones that are in the womb, which he says is the most dangerous place for a young black person. But I want to get to this video. We showed the video of liberals loving the tax plan if they thought it was Bernie's, because everything Bernie does is great. Even though he would probably raise taxes on everybody. Everybody's got to pay. But what we have here, this is a video. Fake news forced to cover benefits of tax reform. Let's go to that now. Oh,
for us at Capitol Hill, corporate America reacting quickly to the tax cut plan, with several companies announcing investments and bonuses. MSNBC parent company Comcast announced it would give $1,000 bonuses to more than 100,000 employees. AT&T announced similar bonuses for around 200,000 employees. Boeing said it would make a $300 million investment in workforce training, while banks like Fifth Third and Wells Fargo are raising their minimum wage to $15 an hour, giving bonuses and donating to the community. The president was quick.
Not one Democrat has voted for a bill that cuts taxes by $1.5 trillion. To Abby's
point, Nancy Pelosi,
you know, if you're a working class family, a lot of people say, oh, it's only $200. Oh, it's only $300. If you're a working class family living paycheck to paycheck, $200, $300 is damn good money, and you are grateful for it. Are the Democrats taking a risk? Well, especially those from Trump states.
This is really great to watch. Did y'all just cut that?
You've got like 40-60% drop in people's income taxes. Look, obviously they're being partisan and they want to try and deny this achievement and try and talk it down. And obviously you got six-figure income people on TV, no offense, just saying this is nothing. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, Joe, which is more than half the people in this country, you're making the median family income of four and you just got a $2,000 tax cut next year. That's not nothing. It may be nothing to somebody making 600 grand. It may be nothing to, you know, somebody in New York or California. But to the families who are out there struggling today, that is something. Well, doubling the child tax credit, doubling the standard deduction, lowering rates across the board. That means a lot to a lot of people.
And then you
almost 90% of people can fill the taxes on a postcard.
Companies, AT&T, Comcast, just a couple to name, now say that the GOP tax bill means a $1,000 bonus to all their employees. That's $300,000 between Comcast and AT&T alone. Other firms promising to pay to hike wages for workers, hike the minimum wage, $15 at Wells Fargo and Fifth Third. What do you make of these companies stepping up already? Because there's a lot of cynicism out there about it, but what do you say to it, Congressman?
Well, there's a lot of misinformation out there, Dagan.
Hold on one second. And he's right. There is a lot of misinformation. We'll come back to that in a second. Pause it for a second. There is a lot of misinformation. We saw a run to the hills moment, a sky is falling moment from the Democrats. Nancy Pelosi was saying this is going to be apocalyptic. And then they trot out their rich friends to say, then nobody, only rich are going to get tax breaks. And it even came out, Trump's taxes are going to go up, yet his businesses are going to save money. And that's the big secret to the tax plan is it's not even a tax plan. It's a plan for the American people to finally get into the American dream. If you're out there, you have a great idea, you've already got, and you want to form a corporation, you've already got yourself a 15% pay raise because your taxes, your corporate taxes went from 35% to 21%. And I don't think people are going to realize how big that's going to be. You're going to see more small businesses start up. You're going to see them hire more people. You're going to see them have more capital to expand, pay people better, which will have better retention rates among employees. It's a win-win situation. It is literally how to make money in America. And the only people that are bitching about this are the people that don't want to work, or that have a vested interest in trying to stop what's going on now. So it's very interesting to see. Let's go ahead and finish it up.
I pushed. We don't.
We didn't know what AT&T and Qualcomm or Wells Fargo was going to do or Boeing was going to do with their investments or their Christmas gifts to their employees. We didn't see that on the horizon. But what we know is that if we give businesses more of their own money to spend the way they see fit instead of here in Washington, they do pretty cool things. They'll invest it. They'll innovate. They'll create. They'll give bonuses to the people that make their companies great. And that's exactly what we saw. And this was our point to Democrats who were thinking this was so horrible for the middle class. We said, you know, no, this actually helps the middle class. It offers more opportunity and more upward mobility. This is the great thing that happens when people get to keep more of their own money. So I think Democrats, not only Dagenham,
and that's the big gulf between Democrats and Republicans are going to eat crow as well. And I don't consider myself a Republican by any stretch of the mean, but when you allow people to spend their own money the way they see fit, they're going to do better things with it. They're going to spend it more wisely than the government would. The government doesn't care how it spends money because it's not their money. It's your money. And that's the bottom line. Personally, I think taxes should just go to a flat 10% rate. I'm all for flat taxes. 10% across the board, boom. And if the government can't deal with it, then they have to balance the budget every year. And then when they don't balance the budget, you cut their pay in half. And you cut it again if they don't get it the next year. And you just keep cutting it. And eventually, the people that aren't interested in working for America will leave the system because they're not getting those fat cat deals. And that great health care and everything else that comes along with when you're a rep or a senator. So it's just amazing to see. Trump said he was going to sign it before Christmas. He signed it today. He signed it this morning. I watched the video. And it was good to see. And he was, you know, he said, what are you going to do next? He goes, we're going to go for infrastructure. We spent trillions of dollars in the Mideast. Why can't we spend it here? Why can't we, if we'd have spent that here, we wouldn't be having the problems that we see now. Maybe that Amtrak train wouldn't have gone off the tracks because we would have had the money to fix the infrastructure. So it's good to see him look to the future, sign this. I think this is going to be a win-win for people, and you're going to see great things come out of America. Now, when we come back from break, I'm going to have Dr. Clennard Childress on. We're going to talk about a few things. One, the Ohio governor signs a Down syndrome abortion ban. We're going to talk about this Daily Caller article. Majority of women who have had abortions say their lives didn't get better. So, you know, that's one of the arguments. Let me put that one back up. They always say, oh, I couldn't do it. My life was in shambles. Well, their lives don't get any better when they take another human life. That's not necessarily the case. So there, and we're going to talk about this one, the traveling abortion doctor. The Atlantic did a profile on a Dr. Shannon Carr who flies around and helps give abortions to young lady. She's literally like the Dr. Kevorkian of abortion doctors. You know, Dr. Kevorkian helped people in their lives in the late term. She's helping them kill them before they even get out of the womb. So when we come back, we're going to find out why the womb is the most dangerous place for African Americans here in the United States. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Due. Infowars.com/show. Spread that link far and wide.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
So I just tweeted on my Twitter, which is at Dews News, DewsNewz. Live on the warroominfowars.com/show, learn the real killer of African Americans. Because people like to say it's crime, it's drug abuse, it's this and that. But my next guest makes the case, and he's been running this website, blackgenocide.org, since 2002, that the most dangerous place for African Americans is, in fact, the womb. That's right, I'm joined by Reverend Clennard Childress, who has been at the Montclair, New Jersey, New Calvary Baptist Church since September 1974. Reverend Childress, how are you doing? It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. Thank you for having me. Great being on the program. You guys are doing an outstanding job.
Well, it's great to have you. And I am definitely just amazed by the work that you do and other people do. I wouldn't say it's a thankless job because I'm sure you get a lot of thanks in your community. But it's not a job that gets adoration across the nation. You know, people aren't holding you up saying, this guy thinks Black Lives Matter. You know, it's work that has to be done sort of behind the scenes, and it's a one-on-one process. So tell people what you do. For those who don't know about you, I interviewed you back in 2010, so I've been aware of your work for a long time. But tell people what you do at the New Calvary Baptist Church and with blackgenocide.org.
Well, what we've been able to do is, I believe, especially in these last 4 or 5 years, raise the consciousness of the church and the nation of the decimation of the African-American community. And 1,786 African-Americans are killed each day by abortion. 52% of all African-American pregnancies end in abortion. And we make up 12.4% of the population, but 30% of all abortions. And that number is down from 2006-2007 census, but simply it is not acceptable at all. And what we never really get a chance to talk about is the physiological damages that it is doing to women. Women's groups should be truly viewed as a great travesty for them not being able to take this up and have a serious conversation of it. And it is gross negligence of its highest kind because of the damage it's doing to women in general and African Americans disproportionately. So we've been able to travel, pick our spots, strategically take on assignments that would raise the consciousness. And also, as far as marketing is concerned, get the word out to the masses. And we've been able to do that so far. Very small budget. But right now, we've been able to take off, and I'm grateful for that.
Well, I've got three stories that have just came out in the last couple of days. One, the traveling abortion doctor follows Dr. Shannon Carr as she flies around the country talking about women's health, which is essentially, I guess she equates women's health to killing babies. That's what a lot of abortuaries do. She says some of these women walk in with life circumstances that are chaotic and very difficult, and it might be the first time in their life that somebody looked into their eyes and gave a damn about them. And that kind of goes with the next article from the Daily Caller. Study, the majority of women who have had abortions say their lives didn't get any better. And you hear this often. People say, well, it's my choice. I don't feel like I was ready. I didn't feel like the time was right for me to be a parent. And so I did it. And yet they're not seeing, well, it's not like winning the lottery when you kill a baby. So let's talk about these. You know, we have seen the government crack down on these abortuaries and say, you know, hey, if that's all you're doing, you're not really providing for women. We're going to cut your funding. We're going to cut your federal funding. Hey, if people want to go out there and still support them, they still can do that. But the federal government is not supporting it with tax dollars. And then let's talk about the psychological aspect of women who got abortions. You've probably counseled some of these women. Did their lives get any better? Do they feel they improved their life by taking another one?
No, they began a nightmare. And I've been counseling in ministry for 40 years. And counseling women basically that have had abortions, sometimes repeatedly. And because the guise of the abortion industry to get you to use abortion as an abortifacient, as a contraceptive. And so therefore, African-American women especially have gotten repeated abortions. I've talked to some women who is as high as 9 and some as 15. So they're not told of the weakening of the uterine lining. They're not talk about Joe Brin's successful research that 21 conclusive studies that abortions lead to breast cancer. And the breast cancer rate in the African-American community at this present time is alarming, definitely due strictly to the abortion connection. So these health issues, and it's the psychological. When I said the nightmare begins, we hear stories of women still hearing the vacuums. We hear women talking about their child talks to them. We hear women talk about they always remember the day and the hour, seemingly, that not only they did this, but how old the child would be at this present time. It's almost if they're living with the imaginary child in their mind. And I say to women, Reverend Childress and our movement, we do not blame you. Martin Luther King said, where there is darkness, the people will sin. Therefore, it's not so much the people who sin, it's those who create the darkness. Granted, you did make a bad choice, a bad decision, but most of these choices have been through deception. And 90% of women that see their baby through a sonogram choose not to abort. But yet Planned Parenthood will not invest in sonograms and doing as much as they can for their clients to make a conscientious and a wise choice. Let's give all the options. Let's say what this is. So we are unquestionably in a season right now, thanks to this administration, that we can make some headway with education. And I believe in social activism to bring about educating those on the facts about the horridness of abortion. So women are being hurt. I welcome any debate on that with anyone in the country. They often run from debate. And so we find that we have to go to the public. And we've been successful, but we could be a lot better. But it's up to politicians. I always say if abortion was not lucrative, it would not be legal. You have the elitists that do this from an ideology. You have the globalists that do this as far as control. And then you have the abortion doctors who are greedy for dollars. And so when she says no one gave a damn about them, you certainly don't give a damn about the baby. It's intellectually dishonest to claim a right for yourself, but in so doing, take away the right of someone else. Their arguments become even more absurd each year. It's amazing to me. And but once again, juxtapose our argument against theirs. We win hands down. And once again, we have to bring back the sanctity, the personhood, that is a human being. And we should defend that human being's right to life.
Yeah, we just put up on screen while you were talking a baby the size of somebody's palm of their hand, and they're touching it and it's moving.
Yes.
And you can't say that that is not a human life. It probably can't live outside the womb that long at that point, but it's still, if you were to leave it alone, leave the baby alone, I said it, I should have said him or them or her, you would have a human life.
No question about, listen, when my mother took me home, I could not survive unless she came and nursed me. That argument, I don't know why people make that argument. Okay, can it live outside the womb? Well, I couldn't live outside the womb when she took me home. Someone had to care for me. You know, exactly. To victimize somebody in a stage of life where they're vulnerable, it means is diabolical. And so the arguments they come up with are absurd. Yeah.
Hold on, we're going to get to those. We've got one more segment with you. We're going to break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about some legislation the Ohio governor signed to protect the sanctity of life. And this is a good sign. We'll be right back. You're watching The War Room. Thanks for watching. Thank you for watching The War Room. Here we hope to give you the gift of truth. A couple years ago, we went to the local Planned Parenthood abortuary with signs like this that said, "The real war on blacks is abortion. It's not the police. It's abortion." Can you imagine if police were shooting 1,100 black people a day? African Americans in this country? It'd be pretty damning. But that's not what's happening. 1,100 blacks are aborted every day in this country. More blacks are aborted than any other race. Now, what was funny is the local commie group came out because we were protesting their favorite place, the abortuary, and they were getting in our face trying to stop us from having our free speech. And my next guest, or my guest who we had on last segment, still joining us, Reverend Clinton Childress, is here to talk about that. But first, let me tell you, we're bringing back the 34-hour broadcast Christmas specials, which, let me tell you, this is how you fund what we're doing. Okay, when you go to InfoWarsStore.com, when you go to BlackGenocide.org, you let your money, some of that tax money you're getting back, do something good with it. Go to BlackGenocide.org. Help them out. They need money. They do what they do on a shoestring budget, and we'll get into that. But right now, another way you could help us grow and continue to bring guests like Reverend Childress, is going to InfoWarsStore.com. Myco ZX is back in stock, 25% off of free shipping. Supermel Vitality, 50% off of free shipping. Silver Bullet, 67% off of free shipping. BrainForce Plus, 50% off. Alpha Power, 50% off. CellForce, 50% off. Survival Shield X2, 50% off. Viral Mineral Fusion, 50% off. The Real Red Pill, 50% off. All Super Blue products, which are our toothpaste and mouthwash products with colloidal silver and iodine, 50% off. Secret 12, 50% off. InfoWars Life Select products. That's the storable food, 50% off. DNA Force, 33% off. And these are all free shipping, by the way. All ProPure products, 25% off of free shipping. Carnivore and Floralife, 33% off of free shipping. And much, much more. Get your Christmas week specials now with free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com. And it's how you can support us. And by supporting us, we support others. We get the word out. Imagine, Reverend Childress, your message is now going out to thousands of people nationwide. Imagine if just a few of those people go to blackgenocide.org and help you guys out. What do you do with the money you get in that comes in? How do you guys spend it?
We are social activists. You know, if you study social activism, you study social justice, you need activists to be in the street to confront not only the public, but those entities. And the pro-life movement has the truth. And we've been to Washington, D.C. on various occasions. We are at the African-American Museum, simply because of the propaganda that's being spread in the museum is basically to create anarchists. And by the way, our presentations there brought about Clarence Thomas being admitted in. We had contrived signs just to put out there because of the bias they were showing. They first said there was no room for them. They moved us across the street. They wouldn't let us stand in front of the museum. We sued the Department of Justice and won.
And there's plenty of room around that museum. I've seen it.
Yes.
Plenty of room for you to get over there and talk to people. You're right there next to the Washington Monument.
It's there to cajole, to basically seduce young minds into having a beef with this country, or to be very dissident when it comes to the Judeo-Christian ethic is unquestionably under attack in that museum. But the All Black Life Matters project that we started a few years ago, we designed signs for the African-American Museum to unquestionably confront those who are going in, millions. And I think it's going to be, and already has proven to be, a very effective project. They have to know we're going to be there. And of course, as much as the support we get will determine how well we're able to keep that pressure up on them, but it's already reaped great benefits. You know, Black Life Matters is a group that's funded by George Soros. I often say the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. We need an African-American activist group that is on the streets taking the message of this administration is doing an outstanding job for African-Americans and really be confrontational. I know that's not for everybody, but it is for me and the people that hold with me. And so, but anytime that Black Lives Matters basically partners with Planned Parenthood, that's an oxymoron. Planned Parenthood is the leading killer of African Americans. So why is Black Lives Matters partnering with them? Why is because of George Soros, the systematic effort to basically infiltrate and overthrow this country? And so, you know, America has its faults, but it is the best country in the world. And certainly working together in the spirit of unity, as Dr. King said, the sons of former slaves sitting at the table, the sons of former slave owners, that one day we would come into that day where we, as he saw in 1963, where we live out our creed, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, all mankind created equal, endowed by the Creator, with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Dr. King said America has not lived that creed out, but he did say he had a dream that one day we did. I think you're going to see that with this administration.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, somebody that I didn't agree with during the election was John Kasich. I didn't agree the way he was running. I thought he was kind of shilling to keep Donald Trump out of the office. But he did sign today, or at least looks like within the last couple of days, he signed a bill, today, that bans abortion after fetal diagnosis of Down syndrome. Amen. And, of course, it's controversial because, we can't have little Down syndrome babies running around here. That takes away from the quality of life. We saw a video this past week, Dr. Childress, of they had a guy with Down syndrome and then a professor and then the host, and they were showing the young Down syndrome boy what he was going to cost society, trying to make him feel guilty for existing, saying, look what you're going to cost. Look what the old people are going to cost. Look, this is what somebody like me costs. I mean, total degradation of life comes from these globalists, and it's sickening.
That is the racist mindset of Margaret Sanger that's still alive. Yeah. That is a demonic power that is oppressive and unquestionably undermines anything that's human. And certainly they would pick on the Down syndrome. As you well know, 90% of those children are aborted. That's very sad. And so we unquestionably are seeing a shift, though. And Ohio is still fighting on that personhood bill, but they're wise enough to keep strategizing to bring other legislation to the governor's desk. So I commend the pro-lifers out there in Ohio for being diverse in their legislation. And they have just saved lives through that legislation and lives that will make a serious contribution to the good of this nation, as many Down syndrome people have.
Exactly. Now, we got a couple minutes left. What do you find when you guys go out in the street? You say you like to go out and confront. What do you find is the most effective argument to bring a pro-choicer over to the pro-life camp? How are you able to flip that switch and make people go, hey, you know, you're right. Maybe we shouldn't be killing babies.
Well, unquestionably, social justice is always turned when the victim can be visualized. And this is why we use graphic imagery. It's not for every form. But certainly on the college campuses, it's a marvel how people come up and look. And I say, that is a human being. So if we're going to continue this conversation, we have to understand, I believe that is a human person. That is a person. And the thing that they really come to grips with is the very narratives that they are accusing us of taking away women's rights and being racist and fascist. Then I tie them into the history of Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger, who co-labored with the Third Reich. Many people don't know that. And this is why I thank Life Dynamics, Mark Crusher, for MyAlpha 21. It documents that. And so when they can see the racist beginnings of the abortion industry, and they can see that that is a baby, I mean, 18 days, there's a heartbeat, 42 days, brain waves, 65 days, sucking their thumb, and the mother may not even know she's pregnant. And so when we give personhood to the child, and those who argue personhood are arguing on the proper platform, but African Americans are so demonized by politics, we have to show, and it's great that I can show now, that this is a president. We've had 8 years of nothing. This president, within his first year, has helped the biggest demographic in the African American community. Single
mother. I totally agree.
70%.
I got to stop you there. We're going to have you. I think we got to have you on once a month. I mean, there's so much to talk about. You're doing the Lord's work, Reverend Childress. Thank you for being with us. You're watching The War Room.
I said the joint was rocking, going round and round. Crazy sound, and they never stopped rocking till the moon went down.
You're listening to the sworn enemy of fake news. It's the War Room with Roger Stone at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Roger Stone will be up next segment. But first, two of the biggest snowflake triggerers probably in the world, Roger Stone and Alex Jones, on Tuesday went to a gun range here, the range here in Austin, which is a very high-end, great range. I'll tell you what, I went in there to shoot video. I was running behind, actually. And there's a guy sitting, I think his name was Levi, and he jumps up. He goes, I got to shake your hand. Thank you, Mr. Dew, for what you're doing. knew who I was, everything. And I'm blown away at the reach that these shows have here at the Central Texas Command Center, even in liberal Mecca of Austin. So without further ado, let's watch the video that had the liberals triggered.
You can't have a right if it's not being exercised.
Under the pressure, I don't shoot too good.
That's amazing.
I think this video is going to trigger libtards.
So this is a Glock 18C machine pistol. This fires about 11 rounds, so it's pretty crazy.
Also got an M249 saw, belt-fed machine gun.
From Media Matters is Alex Jones and Roger Stone visit gun range to prepare for civil war if Trump is removed from office. Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and Roger Stone, a conservative pundit who has advised President Trump for decades, visit a shooting range to fire weapons in preparation for a civil war in the event Trump is removed from office. So it was an hour and a half long. We put it out there. We did a live stream. And when asked to spell out his comments to TNC, Stone, who is a contributor to Jones's InfoWars, said, "We do not advocate violence or foment violence. But if there is a coup d'etat, and if there is an illegitimate, unconstitutional effort to remove Donald Trump on trumped-up charges by biased partisan prosecutors or an illegitimate takedown by the 25th Amendment, there will be a civil war in this country. The Trump constituency has been awakened, and they will not be put to sleep." He was there at the shooting range to practice self-defense for himself and his family, but also to defend the Constitution if necessary. So obviously, that has triggered leftists and liberals alike. We have it here at InfoWars.com. Here's the video. This video triggers Trump haters. Share it now. We got the short 8-minute version, and then you can watch the long hour 22-minute version. Now, coming up next, the man himself, Roger Stone, sharpshooter McGraw, will be joining me be joining me via Skype. Stay tuned. You're watching The War Room at InfoWars.com/show.
Is the War Room.
Welcome back. You're at Credo Command Central, and I'm your co-host, Roger Stone, joined today by my colleague, Rob Dew. I don't think I've had that much fun in a long time. I have a health respect for the Second Amendment and proper use of firearms, and frankly, I grow exceedingly tired of the threats against my family, my wife, children, my grandchildren, even my dogs. I don't know what it is with these left-wing conspiracy theorists. They see Putin behind every tree, under every bush, behind every corner. In fact, we've gotten to the point, if you get a parking ticket, well, it means Putin must have controlled the meter maid. But while we do not advocate violence, nor do we foment violence, we do believe in self-defense. Antifa are the folks who advocate violence. In fact, they wear masks. We don't. We're proud of who we are and what we believe in. So, Rob, it was an extraordinary experience at the range. I came away with a lot of knowledge that I didn't have before about the proper use of these sophisticated weapons.
It is amazing the power that you're wielding when you're holding a gun, and the difference between a semi-auto and a fully auto. You know, the press likes to talk about automatic weapons all the time. You're not allowed to have automatic weapons unless you got them before, I think it was like 86, they put a gun ban out. I'm probably wrong on that, and there's probably gun people probably flipping in their chairs. But there's a gun ban that came out in the 80s for automatic weapons, like what we're firing there, that Uzi, which was, isn't that a fun gun to fire?
It was really quite extraordinary, and I found it surprisingly light compared to the other machine-type weapon, the one that was on the tripod. It's an extraordinary experience. You have to respect the proper use of these weapons. But I am, I want to reiterate again for all the libtards out there whose heads are exploding even as we speak. No, we're not advocating revolution, but if you bring it, and we have to defend ourselves and our families and our Constitution, we will. I do not think that the elites in this country, who so despise Donald Trump and the wave of reform that he's bringing to the country, recognize the intensity of support for this president in middle America, in flyover country. And now in the wake of this historic tax cut, the president is even stronger.
I totally agree. And I just saw this. John Brennan tweeted this. Trump administration threat to retaliate against nations that exercise sovereign right in UN. So now the UN's a sovereign country to oppose U.S. position on Jerusalem is beyond outrageous. And this is a guy who's a Muslim. Shows at real Donald Trump expects blind loyalty and subservience from everyone. Now, isn't it funny that Donald Trump tweeted out a video showing Bill Clinton, George Bush, Barack Obama, all saying they were going to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel, and they were going to move the embassy there. All of them talked about it. They talked a great game, but when it came time to actually do it, they backed off. Trump said it, and then he did it, which I think really pisses people off that you actually have a president who's keeping his promises. Whatever side of the fence you're on the Israel debate, I think they have the right to exist and defend themselves from attackers. But he actually did what he said he was going to do.
John Brennan, in my opinion, is the absolute worst of the deep state criminals. In my book, The Making of the President 2016, which you can get at the InfoWars store for Christmas, I outline how, as the CIA station chief in Saudi Arabia and Ridda, he converted to the most radical brand of Islam. He is fluent in a language. He has been an equal opportunity hitman for both Republicans and Democrats. One wonders how someone with his pedigree could be confirmed for such a position. It's very interesting if you go back and look. He was predicting Russian collusion long before anyone else. How could that be? Yet he at one point told the president of the United States, at that point I think he was president-elect, you watch your mouth. Because the president
actually he has a soy boy voice. It was you at your mouth. It's a very soft spoken man for someone with so much power in killing people.
Yeah, no, interesting observation. But Brennan is the worst of the worst, and quite clearly he's well aware of the fact that according to the FISA court, he was in on the effort to illegally surveil 30,000 Americans for political purposes, essentially political espionage manifested in an effort by our intelligence services and using the state apparatus to spy on Republicans and the Republican nominee for president. Mr. Brennan has therefore committed egregious crimes, far worse than the crimes we saw in Watergate. He needs to be prosecuted. And if we ever got an attorney general who was committed to the rule of law instead of this fellow we have now, who appears, based on everything I can see, to be asleep, perhaps Mr. Brennan would get his just deserts. Brennan is one of those who filed an amicus brief in the phony lawsuit against me by Protect Democracy, an Obama-blessed front. Now, their amicus brief is, of course, pointless. It just reiterates the bogus charge that the Russians penetrated our elections, interfered in our elections, which, of course, is beside the point in this lawsuit, because there is no evidence whatsoever that I ever had any commerce or contact or activity involving the Russians. So it's rather extraneous, to say the least. I look forward to my day in court there. In the meantime, my legal bills for fighting Brennan and the deep state and all the others who have come into this lawsuit against the president and I is hit $485,000. So if you're interested in sending a Christmas present to the Stone family, go to stonedefensefund.com, where my friends have set up a legal defense fund. As you know, we were able to win the defamation suit against me in New York. It was essentially underwritten by George Soros. And we will overcome this bogus, frivolous harassment lawsuit, which alleges that Donald Trump and I worked with the Russians to hack the DNC and give the material to WikiLeaks. False.
Meanwhile, Roger, while they're running around talking about Russians and all this other stuff that doesn't exist, Trump's signing tax bills. He's putting embassies in Jerusalem. He is giving the power back to the people to do with their own money. I think this tax bill is probably the biggest thing he's going to do, you know, obviously this year and probably into next, unless he gets some big infrastructure bill going to put more Americans to work. But going back to Jeff Sessions before we go to break, it looks like he is going to start an investigation into Uranium One, and he's also looking into the Bundy situation and what happened there, because they all just got, it was thrown out, the evidence was, they were, the government was hiding evidence against the defense and against the judge. So they threw that whole lawsuit out. So now we have two things that it looks like Jeff Sessions might start doing something out of. Maybe that'll keep his mind off of going after pot dealers.
Well, my understanding is that he has submitted a memo to the White House policy shop saying that he is prepared to repeal the Cole memo. That's the memo that was written under Barack Obama, one of the few things that Eric Holder did at DOJ that I heartily agree with, which essentially has the federal government stand down in those instances where the states, through their own process, have legalized mostly medicinal marijuana. I fear that Jeff Sessions, now seeing the president on a historic high in terms of his power and his influence in the wake of a very successful tax cut, will move ahead on cracking down on state legalized cannabis. This is in violation of what Donald Trump promised the American people. It's in violation of what he has told me directly is his position. He is not himself a user or a proponent of cannabis, quite obviously, but he believes the people should decide. He believes it should be left to the states. And as he said in the campaign, if I may quote directly, medicinal, I'm 1,000% in support of medicinal.
So, all right, we'll be right back. Roger, thanks for watching The War Room, Infowars.com/show.
The War Room. I'm your co-host, Roger Stone, with Rob Dew sitting in for Owen Schroyer. Earlier today, I taped C-SPAN's Newsmakers program, which will air Sunday morning. That discussion, mostly about the extensive piece that I wrote for InfoWars outlining the etymology, that's the history, of Uranium One. Now, what we have going on here, Rob, is briar patch strategy by the Democrats. They seek to goad the president into firing Mueller to try to regain the upper hand. The allegation, of course, would be that, oh, Trump is firing Mueller to cover up his own crimes. And the president should not take the bait, in my opinion. We know that General Flynn has said that he was directed by a senior member of the presidential transition team to reach out to the Russian ambassador. We presume that that was most likely the president's son-in-law and counselor, Jared Kushner. We know that Mr. Kushner has been questioned for hours by the Senate, the House, the FBI, most likely in a continued effort to try to catch him in some kind of perjury trap. I suspect that Mueller will attempt to move on Jared Kushner, who has, again, some arcane process-related crime, which is essentially entrapment. But this is designed to enrage and perhaps provoke the president to fire Mueller. So the president needs to remain cool. He needs to remain calm, but he needs to recognize that the strategy of his lawyers, a strategy of rolling over, is not going to work, and that he must immediately order Jeff Sessions to appoint a special prosecutor in the matter of Uranium One. This would have the effect essentially of checkmating Mueller and his inquiry, because a Uranium One inquiry under the aegis of an honest prosecutor would be focused on Mr. Mueller, Mr. Comey, Mr. McCabe, and yes, Mr. Rosenstein. They cannot continue to pursue the president like a pack of rabid dogs if they themselves are under federal investigation. So I have laid it out, and the president must put wax in his ears and ignore these efforts to provoke him into an impulsive action to fire Mueller, as much as Mr. Mueller deserves to be fired.
I would totally agree. And it's good to see that the Republicans, like Devin Nunes, when he backed away from the Intelligence Committee, the House Intelligence Committee, people thought, oh, he's back. He's fallen down. He's fallen on the sword. He's a wimp. He was actually going behind the scenes with other lawmakers and saying, we're going to look at what these guys are doing from behind the scenes to see if we can actually do something. Because this Trump-Russia thing is total nonsense. It's a nothing burger. He knew it back then. Probably reading InfoWars, who knows. But to go around the end and start working with other lawmakers who are just concerned with basic decency, that's all, trying to figure out what's really going on with the Democrats. And I think their hand is going to be 2018. We're going to see probably the fall of the major leadership of the Democratic Party.
Well, you know, Alex Jones has been really consistent about this from the beginning. The irony of the whole situation is in Uranium One, we learned that they are the ones who are colluding with the Russians. They were the ones making millions of dollars from the associates of Putin. The irony of them turning around and baselessly accusing the president of being in bed with Putin when it's Bill and Hillary Clinton who pulled in $145 million in contributions and a cool $500,000 in a speaking fee. So there is a supreme irony here that they're accusing Trump of exactly what they have done. And it is, of course, treasonous when you sell 20% of a strategic material to a foreign power. They knew precisely what they were doing.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, I hope and pray that we're going to finally see some justice, because it seems like everybody on the outside can really see what's going on. And it's like these dense heads up in Washington are just like, well, we have this Russian collusion, and that's all there. It's like they have been programmed Borg robots to do nothing but go after Trump on this. Now, I do have some breaking news here from the Las Vegas shooting. We were talking about that earlier, how the FBI is going to release their report in 1 year. The medical examiner, and this is from Laura Loomer, released the list of Las Vegas shooting fatalities, but there's one not there. There's one shooting fatality that wasn't listed, and that is Stephen Paddock, the proposed gunman. You come down here to the piece, and he's not listed. Why would they not put his name on here as someone, even if it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound, a suicide, which is what we're told he did, but it looks like he was also shot in the chest. Why aren't they listing that? What do you think is the deal, Roger?
Well, I'm not an expert on what happened in Las Vegas. I do think that Tucker Carlson has been most excellent on this point, which is to say, we're not making allegations. We're not making assertions. We're not reaching conclusions. We'd like to know why we're being told nothing, why there is no information. That leads one reasonably to believe that something untoward is being covered up. Beyond that, it's very hard to know. Now, firearms experts continue to tell me, based on acoustics and listening to recordings, they think it highly unlikely that these bump stock single shot rifles were used, and it is far more likely that some kind of automatic weapon was at play. I'm not knowledgeable enough to know, but I am knowledgeable enough to know we're not being told the truth about what has transpired here.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's a canard, as you like to say. Now, I want to get to this. I don't know if we have time before we go to the break, but we got this Mikhail Thelen article. One of your favorite people in the world, Cenk Unger. I don't know if I said his name right, but Young Turks Unger once called women genetically flawed for not sleeping with him, among other things. And he defends this by saying, oh, that's when he was a conservative. I don't ever really hear conservatives talking like this. I only really hear the liberals and the libtards talk like this about each other. And I had not yet matured. I was still a conservative. Progressive figure claims in response to the damning remarks. This is, I guess, Cassandra Anderson released the initial article on, I think it was Gateway Pundit. But he said things like, let's see. It seems there is like a sea of tits here, and I'm drinking tiny droplets. I want to dive into the whole GD ocean, is what he wrote. Obviously, the genes of women are flawed. They're poorly designed creatures who do not want to have sex as often as needed for the human race to get along peaceably and fruitfully. And this is a man who called you a liar on one of our streams back during the Republican National Convention. He kind of got in your face and freaked out when you we showed him your rape shirt.
Yeah, no, he objected to my claims that former New York Governor Elliot Spitzer liked and abused prostitutes. I think I turned out to be correct about that. I didn't know that he was ever a conservative. Exactly when was that?
Very again? Proud to announce the introduction.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Roger Stone.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. You're at the War Room with your hosts, Roger Stone, and sitting in for Owen Schroyer today, Rob Dew. So, Rob, what else is on the news today? Being in preparation for my C-SPAN interview, which was taped around noon, and then catching some of the late breaking news, particularly some of this Brennan stuff, I see that it was quite a day.
Well, it definitely was. I want to go back to this article because this is a guy who called you out as being a liar. And you have your Stone's rules, right? Which is all about how to be a successful political operative. Cenk has rules of dating. Wait till you hear these. And he says, these are all in quotes, women ignore these at your peril. Rule one, there must be some serious making out by the third date. This guy sounds like he's 12 years old. If I haven't felt your TITSs by then, things are not about to last much longer. In fact, if I don't get back on track by the fourth date, you're done. Or if you don't get back on track. You must be orgasm by fifth date. That sounds very cavemanish.
Must be orgasm by fifth date.
And he even talks about a Mardi Gras trip in which he felt countless breasts. I kissed over 23 women and saw countless breasts and was in a wonderful drunken stupor thanks to my friend John Daniels, which I think is a typo. It should be Jack Daniels. And so he said he's changed. He's done all this changing. Yet a former employee of the Young Turks who was speaking to the rap said he still makes women feel uncomfortable. He's a knucklehead. He's a boy. He talks about women the way I talked when I was 13, said the former employee. He's obsessed with body count. Basically, how many people have you effed? This is an important number to him. I mean, does this sound like a person anyone should be taking seriously at this point?
It sounds to me like a case of arrested development. I mean, who would say things like that? Who would commit them to writing even worse? Plus, I have a feeling that Kent may be headed to the worst dress list, which I will release, as I always do, on New Year's Day.
Excellent. I can't wait to see that. I don't think I'll make it because I'm not much of a fashionista. I prefer to go out in the tactical vest with my hat pulled backwards.
Well, but you do have the hat favored by Che Guevara, favored by Sir Robert Montgomery, favored by yours truly, which we refer to as the Rob Du hat. So that's a stylish in itself. Look, not everybody is into, what I'm into in terms of being a fashion plate and caring about these things. But by and large, you don't have to dress expensively to be stylish. Style, unlike fashion, is not fleeting. Style is constant. The hat you wear, Rob, was in fashion in the 50s when Che Guevara wore it. It's stylish today. It will be stylish tomorrow. Chink will never be considered stylish.
That is very, very true. I will tell you, in college, I used to do this thing. I wore plaid shorts with tie-dyed shirts. That was my thing, tie-dyes and plaid. Now, here's another story that is very interesting and sort of bolsters Trump's call for the wall. Bureau of Prisons, 1 in 5 inmates is foreign-born. That would be over 20%. A new report from Attorney General Jeff Sessions, DOJ, says that 185,507 inmates currently in custody, 39,000 of those inmates, or about 21%, are foreign-born who entered the U.S. either illegally or legally. So that's nearly 40,000. Another 38% of the foreign-born inmate population remain under investigation by ICE. So that's a big number, especially for Democrats to try to wrap their heads around that as Trump calls for tougher immigration laws, more ICE enforcement, stronger border with a wall. And now you have this information coming out. What do you say to this 20% it looks like now, 1 in 5?
You know, what's amazing, Rob, is the way the president instinctively recognized the dangers of our current immigration system. This is the first presidential candidate that I have ever worked for, and I've been in 10 national presidential campaigns, starting with Richard Nixon all the way to Donald Trump, a little detour to support the Libertarian Party candidate in 2012, to Governor Gary Johnson, good man. But generally speaking, at this level of politics, extensive polling and survey research is done to try to get a handle on what the people are thinking. It's amazing is how instinctual Donald Trump, a non-politician, is. He identified the immigration issue as a sleeper issue of last year. We would not even been discussing sanctuary cities in 2016, but for Donald Trump and the Trump campaign. We would not be discussing the wall if it weren't for Donald Trump using it as a rhetorical advice to tell people that if you don't have borders, you don't have a country. Just a perfect example of how he is a natural, that how he is not only a quick study, he adapted to politics, I'd say, pretty well, but he's an instinctive political leader. He's not sticking a wet finger in the wind. He's not trying to figure out what to say in order to be popular. He's just telling you what he really thinks. He speaks from the gut. He speaks from the heart. Occasionally he makes a mistake, but frankly, people see that as genuine because humans make mistakes. When you don't make any mistakes, that means you're a pre-programmed, robot. Not a single word Hillary Clinton ever said in last year's campaign wasn't tested. focus grouped, roundtabled, massaged. There was nothing authentic or genuine about any of it. But that means that somebody actually thought in advance about calling us deplorables, one of the greatest errors of last year. Now would be a good time, I think, to remind folks that if you're enjoying the War Room, if you like our expanded program, if you are down with the forces of freedom, we urge you to do your Christmas shopping at the InfoWars store. Right now, we have our Christmas sale in full swing, and you will find deep discounts on the most popular products that Alex Jones puts on the market. What I like is the way InfoWars and the scientists and chemists and others that Alex Jones works with fuse the best of the old with the new. You get some of the most reputable century-old Chinese herbs combined with some of these cutting-edge natural supplements to produce new products that are just off the charts. Alpha Power, now on sale, is a perfect example of such a formula for increased physical performance, increased athletic performance, sense of well-being. This is a terrific product, and right now you have a 50% off sale. So whether it's Alpha Power, whether it's my favorite Brain Force Plus, whether it's Caveman and Mike Zimmerman's favorite, the bone broth there, go to the store now. Do your Christmas shopping, whether it's the T-shirts, the books, the supplements, and you know that you're going to be supporting the forces of freedom. You're going to be helping us pay for the expansion and to beat back the globalists who would like to close us down and shut us up. This is your chance to strike a blow for freedom this Christmas by going and doing all your shopping at the InfoWars store. Check out the T-shirts, including the iconic Bill Clinton rape T-shirt. When these go, folks, they will not be any more. This T-shirt's going to end up in the Smithsonian. And you can find it now at the InfoWars store. There's a few of them left. But go to check out the gear, check out the apparel, check out the books. This is what Alex Jones calls a 360 win. There it is, the Bill Clinton Rick T-shirt that I designed and Alex Jones put on the historical political map.
All right, and we'll be right back. Final segment, Roger Stone, coming up on the War Room, InfoWars.com. Segment with Roger Stone. Now, coming up at the top of the next hour, we're going to play a clip from Zach, who's called in with lots of intelligence. He's going to talk about North Korea, how Obama was running guns, and also the corruption going on in Silicon Valley. We saw that Eric Schmidt resigned from Alphabet, which is the parent company of Google, and QAnon, who is an intelligence operative, is suggesting that he resign because Donald Trump signed an executive order going after the assets of people tied to trafficking of humans. So we're going to get to all that, but I want to start off with this clip and get your reaction from it, Roger. Of course, this is something we've been talking about, but we're seeing some heroes come out of the Republican leadership, one of which is Jim Jordan, who is really speaking about what's really going on, a guy who's really seems to be really pissed off about what's going on. Here he is talking to CNN, and I think this was today.
Have you had conversations, or has your office had conversations with the White House about the Mueller investigation?
I have not called we just had Mr. Sessions, Mr. Rosenstein, Mr. Ray firms. I did not talk to the White House about what kind of questions I was going to ask. I based it on the evidence and the facts that have come out. How do you get around the text message?
Have you had conversations with the White House, not about the questions you asked, but about the Mueller investigation in general?
Well, I talked with the White House about all kinds of things. We've had talks with the White House about tax policy. We have talks about welfare policy. We've had talks about Obamacare. Of course, we've had talks with the White House. But my questions in those committees was driven by the evidence we've received in the last several weeks, like the text message from Peter Strzok and Lisa Page says, where we can't afford to take the risk that the American people are going to elect Donald Trump. So we need an insurance policy.
Congressman,
if that doesn't go to intent to have a plan to disrupt the election,
I want to talk. I want to talk about your argument here in a second. But I'm trying to get to the issue of coordination. You just said, of course, we talked to the White House.
John.
Of course, we talked to the White House.
John, here's
about
the
oh, yeah, you talked to the White House. That's bad now.
Are there talking points on the Mueller investigation?
Of course
no, there's reality,
not.
You dumbo.
Here's the coordination. The Clinton campaign and the DNC, now we know those are one and the same, paid the law firm, who paid Fusion GPS, who paid Christopher Steele, who paid Russians to give him this dossier, get this dossier that was, we think, taken to the FISA court and was the basis for securing warrants to spy on Americans. The coordination between the Clinton campaign and
if you let me, I will get to this. I will get to the dossier and the FBI. You're
but we got to go to break.
But I want to finish up on this
issue
of coordination.
Those are facts.
I want to get to the issue. I want to stay on the issue of coordination for one second.
I want to talk about the coordination we know. Here's the coordination.
Hang on. You've been on Fox News when you say that the FBI was, you know, acting to keep Donald Trump from being president of the United States. Before you go on Fox News, do you talk to them?
The text messages say that.
Do you talk to them about these claims that you will make?
I talk to my colleagues, I look at the evidence, and I talk with our press people who book us on your show, and we talk about the coordination that exists between the Clinton campaign and the Russians. Now think about this. We know for a fact the Clinton campaign paid Russians to do what? To influence the election. And yet we've had this month-long investigation by Bob Mueller with no evidence that President Trump worked with Russians in any way to coordinate.
Congressman, hang on.
But we know the Democrats
President Trump.
Wow, you know, and people criticize Alex Jones for interrupting guests. This guy wouldn't let Jim Jordan get a word out about anything. Anytime he started to talk about an issue of substance, it was, were you coordinating with the White House on questions? The text messages speak for themselves, don't they, Roger?
Well, and they seem to think that Republican congressmen like Jim Jordan or Matt Gaetz or Ron DeSantis or Trey Gowdy, they need people to put words in their mouth. I mean, they're in the same party as the president. They're supporters of the president. There's nothing inappropriate about them talking to White House officials or even to the president himself. But they can read. They can look at the evidence. They don't need talking points to make their case. I went through this recently, as you know. I've been friendly with Congressman Matt Gaetz from North Florida since his days in the Florida State Legislature. He invited me to a conference of doctors on the cannabis issue. And after the conference, there was a dinner. There were 14 people at the table in a public restaurant. Photos were taken, and I was proud to have my picture taken with him. That now pops up on Twitter as proof of a secret meeting in which Stone was programming Gaetz for his conversation with the president aboard Air Force One regarding the poisonous partisan nature of the Mueller investigation. Please, Matt Gaetz is his own man. He doesn't need Roger Stone to put words in his mouth. The secret meeting was in public and there were 14 people present and the discussion was about cannabis. I don't think the Mueller investigation ever came up. That's the thing about these liberals, Rob. They're all into these conspiracy theories, these nutty conspiracy theories. They're so obvious, like the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians to affect the election. There's a perfect example. Or Roger Stone coached Leanne Tweeden, the first accuser of Senator Al Franken, for weeks. There's another conspiracy theory that's completely false. I don't know what it is with these leftists and their crazy conspiracy theories. They really need to stick to facts, in my opinion.
Well, I know what it is. They can't come up with their own thoughts, their own original talking points, as you say. So they have to see what everybody else is saying. They're afraid to come up with an original thought. So they stick to the script. They get the script and it's handed down from like places like Media Matters. Look, here's an example. Let me show you the Media Matters headline. Come to this. This is from you guys shooting on December 19th. Alex Jones and Roger Stone visit a gun range to prepare for civil war if Trump is removed. Now, watch this as we go to the New York Daily News.
Alex Jones, Roger Stone hit shooting range to prepare for civil war, they say, would break out if Trump is removed. Literally the same headline except for the words breakout. The same freaking headline. And we wonder, just watching them go to work, and that's why you had that CNN guy, that no-name, up there trying to stop Jim Jordan from talking. It's because he was coming out with, he's like, I'm not colluding with anybody. These are the facts. Oh, we don't want to talk about facts. There has to be collusion because we don't have anything. We read from script. Script has words on it, and we follow script. And there must be script somewhere. Where is your script, Mr. Jordan? And he's saying, there is no script. We're looking at the text. We're looking at the evidence. We're forming our own questions. It's literal lunacy, but it just shows the mindset. That little bit of video right there just shows the liberal mindset. It's protect, 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 speak from the same script.
Well, just because they operate that way, they assume incorrectly that we operate that way. Jim Jordan is his own man. He doesn't need anybody at the White House to put words in his mouth or supply talking points. He is looking at the evidence. He is drawing his own conclusions. It's insulting, but it's understandable. You see, they think that we are like mindless liberal automatons that merely say what we're told to say. They're very good about staying on message, and the message during all of last year was essentially dictated by John Podesta. I mean, the brilliance of the Russian collusion thing, just as a political professional, I have to admire. What better way to distract from the fact that John and Tony Podesta and Bill and Hillary Clinton and their greedy, nasty little daughter, Chelsea, were reaping millions from the Russians? There's the bank deal, the uranium deal, the gas deal. No, they're absolutely right. There was a major party presidential candidate in bed with Putin. Unfortunately, it wasn't Donald Trump. It was Hillary Rotten Clinton.
Yep, you hit the nail on the head. And that is why, and that's frankly why we're winning, because straight talking Trump, whether he's right 100% of the time or not, it doesn't matter. The fact that he would sit there and talk to the American people like adults, kind of having a beer with them almost when he go to these events and speeches. And you have Hillary Clinton, who has everything pre-programmed, calculated. You know, somebody came up with the term deplorables, and she was just waiting for the time to use it. And it all backfired on them because these aren't real people. They're living in a dream world where, Twitter and Google and Facebook are the arbiters of what is right and what you can say and what you can't. And that has backfired on them. And it doesn't matter if they kick everybody off Twitter like you've been kicked off. People are just going to go somewhere else. And then pretty soon there's just going to be a bunch of automatons on Twitter that are all regurgitating the same talking point, and it's going to outlive its usefulness.
I couldn't agree more. Look, next year I will launch my multiple lawsuits against Twitter in an effort to take them down. In the meantime, I concluded that my ban on Twitter was just probably 60 days ahead of everybody else on the right. There's a giant gag coming across the board for the voices of freedom, or the Trump supporters, or anyone who is right of center.
I totally agree. Hey, Roger Stone, thanks for joining us. We'll see you after Christmas. That's it. Welcome. You're watching The War Room. This is Rob Dew reporting for Infowars.com. Infowars.com/show is the free stream that you need to send out to everybody you know. Thanks for joining us, Roger. Stone Cold Truth.
The silent majority
is no longer
silent. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
This is critical. Okay, this is very critical because this was all a setup and they went too far here and I witnessed it. So this is all going on while Fast and Furious is going on, where they're taking weapons from Fort Bliss in El Paso, moving them across the border into the Kingdom of Morocco, through the Sahara, in Algeria, eventually making their way to Libya, where they will defeat Gaddafi's reign there and create ISIS. So this is deep. These are not.
Well, that's what Tosh Plumlee, the CIA whistleblower, said here. Was his info he broke down accurate from what you know?
Yeah, it was pretty accurate, but I'm going to, I mean, I was witness to it. I know exactly what happened there. And it's not a secret. People blew the whistle in Morocco, and the DTS command, the DST commander in Morocco.
So just to boil it down, why was Obama arming the Muslim Brotherhood and arming radical jihadists to destabilize moderate Muslim states?
Right. So destabilizing moderate Muslim states and also creating ISIS to wreak havoc as we see in the world today. So this is not a blind eye. This is black ops. This was CIA. This was funded by the highest powers that be reigning in our country at the time. So this is why this is so critical. I mean, you know, we do have a radical Islamic threat, but we need to realize where the funding comes from and who's really involved. And it's the left and it's the deep state, without question.
Absolutely. That's what the evidence shows. And it appears Trump is trying to actually cut that off and end that and make deals, actually try to stabilize the Middle East again. But that McMaster and others are double crossing, still trying to go back to the old game right under Trump's nose.
It's absolutely unbelievable. And since the Trump administration has, you know, been in office, since some of the power positions have changed, we've seen incredible changes reach around the world. I'm just saying, by firsthand information, when this information actually comes out, and I'm kind of hinting at some things without getting into anything very classified, but, you know, Fast and Furious was ran by our country. Fast and Furious is what created ISIS. There's just no way around it. This just wasn't SAWs. This just wasn't M4s. This was shoulder-fired weapons. This was artillery. This was everything. This was the standing up of ISIS.
Sure, and that was Obama and the EU and the globalists from all our research and our sources. Now you see the info coming out about arming Hezbollah as well. I mean, why is that suddenly coming out in all places? Politico.
Well, that's coming out, and also what's coming out is sort of this UFO leaking and some of this other technology leaking, because what's essentially coming out is some of our deepest, I guess, quote-unquote, secrets of what's going on. Because what we're going to see, and you hinted to it earlier as we got on the phone, there will be a strike on North Korea. I've been calling you and talking to you about this for 6 months, the ending of strategic patience. There will be an attack there. And the real issue there is people think about the collateral damage and what will occur there. But it will be sophisticated. We will unleash weapons that we do currently have that have been field-tested. To be using conventional warfare for the first time. These will be EMP. These will be strategic nuclear weapons. This will be all of it. And I did start the call up by saying, on the eve of Christmas, I'm dubbing it the deep state death hurdle. They're red-handed. The information that I just laid out is damning, and this is nothing special. It's going to come out. It's going to come out.
Finishing up, you know, you say this death hurdle of what you think they're going to launch in the next few weeks. Please give us your view.
Okay, so that's pretty interesting information that you just kind of predicated our talk with there, because that's what I was going to get into. The information that I got out of Mountain View, California, the suburb outside of Palo Alto, the Google complex right across the freeway from NASA Ames Research, where I've done a lot of work there, and everyone, well, I'm not going to get into that, but yeah, so we have Silicon Valley literally being the unelected leaders of our country, or at least they thought. That's what the left and the deep state thought. The Schmidt information will come out. I'm interested to see what you guys are going to drop. I have some certain points on that. But the writing's on the wall there. It's going to happen. When Trump was elected, Elon Musk towed the line. He's smart enough and realistic enough to take the side of humanity over AI. And he kind of publicly came out.
And notice he said, look out for those that talk about AI gods right before they launched it. I mean, exactly. Elon Musk.
Yeah, there's a lot more power coming out of Silicon Valley nowadays than there is the Beltway in D.C. And now Trump is kind of, reversing that power and allowing people to innovate and do what they're doing. But this is deep, and this is why.
That's right. The heart of globalism is the AI takeover.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
The War Room. Thank you for watching. Infowars.com/show is the free stream you could send out to everybody you know. Now, last segment, we just played a segment from the Alex Jones Show today with our caller, Zach, who's been a wealth of information, a kind of insider knowledge, nothing secret, nothing top secret, no type of black ops going on there, but just putting things in perspective, talking about how Obama and the deep state were getting weapons through Morocco into the Muslim Brotherhood, talking about how there's an attack on North Korea that's going to be imminent, and that's why I guess the deep state is now leaking this information of the types of, I guess, weaponry we have, that they're calling UFOs. It's not little green men. It's technology here on Earth. It's black technology that they won't show you. They want to keep a... There's two civilizations going on. There's a breakaway civilization that's up here that's got a lot of technology, and then where we're living in, which is what you see now. Cameras like these were invented decades ago, yet we're finally being able to use them. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and let's pick up on that. This is an article from Jerome Corsi. QAnon leaks resignation of Google Schmidt to Trump's executive order. The intelligence operative known as QAnon posted a cryptic message on 8chan suggesting there was no coincidence that Eric Schmidt resigned as executive chair of Google's parent company, Alphabet, around the same time President Trump signed an executive order on Thursday. The executive order allows the Treasury Secretary, in consultation with the Secretary of State, to confiscate U.S. assets of anyone materially assisting, sponsoring, or providing financial, material, or technological support to those engaged in human rights abuses and or corruption. And it's the Global Magnitsky Human Rights Accountability Act. Now, where did we hear the word Magnitsky before? Remember when Donald Trump Jr. met with the lawyers that were going to talk about the Magnitsky Act? And that was the ruse to get them in the same room as the Russians. They can go, you're colluding with the Russians. But then it turns out that the lawyer who was set up on that meeting was a big Obama supporter, and she was let in on a weird visa. Well, that all is kind of coming to a head now, we see with Eric Schmidt resigning. But I'm going to go to my guest, Matt Dubiel, who sent me a text last night. Let me find that article, talking about how, oh my gosh, Alex Jones is going to be beaming out of the Trump Tower in Chicago. Leftists are having a hissy fit. Sandy Hook denier Alex Jones showed to be beamed from Chicago's Trump Tower. And Matt Dubiel from WCKG in Chicago has been, I guess they're sending the press after him. They want quotes, this and that. Well, is there some sort of weird fallout that's happening now that we're going to be talking to more people, Matt? What's the problem?
It's there's two headlines. Let's start with that. So the actual print version of the Chicago Tribune came out today, and the headline in the print version is, oops, my finger's in the way, and I'll read it for those people that can't see it, Trump Tower to beam InfoWars. So this is important to point out, and that's why I wanted to share with everyone there and yourself. The internet headline is Sandy Hook denier Alex Jones. Their attempt at the Chicago Tribune to get clickbait and to get as many clicks and likes and shares and eyeballs for their ad roles and everything else. The upside for you and us and everybody else is that the InfoWars store ads end up showing up because right. of retargeting and whatnot. So it serves to work against them, which just goes to show you, you know, these companies think that they're so innovative. They think that they have interactive and ad sales down, and they tell people in boardrooms and shareholders that they know what they're doing, and they don't know what they're doing, because if they did, they wouldn't put articles like this on their website so that Alex can retarget the audience and run ads on the ChicagoTribune.com. But the big thing here is the guy that wrote the article attempts to pre-frame this endeavor of ours to, I mean, we're not doing anything as innovative as I'd love to be. I'm a guy who owns a radio station, and I'm putting a radio show on. There's nothing groundbreaking about that. There's really no news there. Now, it is a big event for Alex and the audience and people in Chicago, and it's a big deal for us. But when it comes to the radio business, people put radio shows on radio stations all the time. This guy frames it as Sandy Hook denier. And what they do, for people that don't know, when they call you, is they try and butter you up and compliment you and make it. This guy told me how he saw Alex at the inauguration and yada, yada, yada. And then they hit you with, well, you know, he's a Sandy Hook denier. Now, my response was, call Alex. Ask Alex what he thinks about Sandy Hook. Don't ask me what Alex thinks. This is why the president tweets. The president tweets so that people can go and get his words directly from his fingertips. You don't need to go to the press to find out what the president said. And the press doesn't need to come to me to find out what Alex thinks about Sandy Hook. They can go right to Alex, but they chose not to do that, and they chose not to do it for a reason.
Well, and they're trying to make it like you're doing something bad. You're leasing the space from Trump Tower. It's not like they're giving it to you or you're stealing it. And I'll just say this about Sandy Hook, and then I want to ask you about what's going on with the UN in Chicago. Here we have 5 years after the Sandy Hook shooting, and we have not seen a police report. The state police have not released a report on what they did, how they responded to this tragedy. So if anything, people should be asking, why can't we see this report? What is so damning in this report? What are we going to see that'll be an aha moment or just something that says, hey, were these guys doing their job to the best of their ability? Because we don't know at this point. We don't have anything to judge it on. And, you know, even the FBI, the shooting that happened in Las Vegas next year, October 1st of next year, they're going to release their report. That's 1 year after. 5 years later, we can't get anything out of the state police of Connecticut.
They're counting on all of our monkey brains to forget about the course of events. And usually we do because we repeat the cycle of the year. Oh, it's Christmas. It's this. It's that. And we forget about that event that happened because we move on and we have short attention spans. Well, that was before the internet. Now that there's an internet and now there's a record of things, people can go back in time and find quotes from presidential candidates from the previous three presidents that says, you know, that said we should recognize this as the capital of Jerusalem. And it wasn't just Trump. So in that new world where we can go and verify things, the police forces, the investigators are all going to have to show us all of the information. And I think at the end of the day, that's all of the American people want in every situation, whether it's Sandy Hook or it's Las Vegas. We want to know what the details are. We don't want to be lied to. We want to be told the truth. And we don't want cover-ups and manipulation of the news. And there's one thing the media has been really good at, and that is covering things up and manipulating the news. And ultimately, that's what these controversies are really about.
That's true. Now, back on December 19th, you called into the Alex Jones Show. They were broadcasting, talking about UN troops in Chicago. Your feed gets cut, and then it comes back, and you say it sounded like it was faded up, like somebody had actual control over your feed going out to people. Not the feed coming in, but the feed going out to the people of Chicago. What was the fallout of that? Did you get any more answers? And if we have to go, you know, go into the next segment, we could do that. And then what new information have you learned? Have we seen you and troops on the streets? What is going on there?
I'm seeing a lot of bogus articles, and I'm really glad that we have an opportunity to talk about this because I would like to lay out exactly what I saw, and I would like to lay out exactly what happened because I'm looking on the internet. And some of these internet, you know, these websites are just ridiculous and completely erroneous. And some of the things they're claiming are completely inaccurate, reframing the conversation that Alex and I have, taking things out of context and instilling and inciting a little bit of misinformation and pandemonium. We got three or four messages today from the radio station where people are asking about UN troops coming to take down the radio station. I'd like to explain that. We're going to need a little bit more time to do that, but I'd happily get into detail on that next.
Yeah, in fact, we're about to go to break. When we come back, let's pick up on this because this is a problem that we talked about for a long time. The UN coming in, working with local police, working with county sheriff's departments and coming in and running gun confiscation drills. I've seen the UN here. I've seen Polish working with the National Guard in Chicago. When the Polish were only supposed to be observing, they're actually taking place in these drills. So it does happen. We'll be back with this with Matt Dubiel right after this break. Thanks for watching Infowars.com/show.
Trump, who gave a tax cut.
That's right. Much to the Democrats' chagrin, Donald Trump has signed one of the biggest tax cuts in 30 years, and it's going to put more money in people's pockets. Of course, the limousine liberals are going to say that's not enough, and you're only going to get $500 a paycheck, which to some people, that's more groceries. That's paying off a bill or paying off a car, stuff to keep people hopeful, which is what Barack Obama wanted to instill in us. And if you go watch the Star Wars, is what they push at you. It's hope. It's hope. It's hope. We're resistance. All this mind control. Our guest is Matt Dubiel from WCKG, and we were just about to get into what happened on the 19th when the radio station went dark. Put that article up, guys, from the 19th. It was Chicago radio station silenced while broadcasting InfoWars Live, warning of UN troop deployment. So there it is. Matt, what have you learned since then, and what is going on in Chicago right now?
Well, to start off with, what happened that day was Alex Jones, during the Alex Jones show, was talking about the Cook County Commissioner. Now, Cook County is the biggest county in Chicago. It is the county of Chicago. And everybody outside of Chicago lives in what they call collar counties. And Cook County is where the old joke, vote early, vote often, you know, dead people vote. That's where that comes from, the Cook County political machine. So the Cook County Commissioner, Richard Boykin, made a plea directly. He left Chicago, went to go talk to the UN to ask the UN to intervene in the murder problem in Chicago. He didn't go to the mayor of Chicago. He didn't go to the governor of Chicago. He went to the United Nations to ask them to intervene and send UN peacekeepers to Chicago. So now fast forward to December 19th. Alex Jones is talking about this during the Alex Jones show. We carry that on AM 1530, FM 102.3. As I'm driving, that part of the conversation, immediately when Alex starts talking about Chicago, goes silent. Now, I pull over. I'm getting ready to call my engineer at the station. He texts me before I even call him, and he says in the text, "This is really weird. The feed did not cut out, but I'm listening to the air feed, and the air feed is completely silent." So I immediately start messaging. So he's working on the problem. I know he's got it under control. He's trying to figure out what's going on. I start messaging the folks at InfoWars and let them know, holy cow, you are talking about a problem, an issue, a concern that is real in Chicago. This is verified. You can Google it. Richard Boykin, Cook County Commissioner, has asked for the UN to come in. He's begged for the UN to send peacekeepers. He claims that there is a slow genocide that's happening on the South Side. And in some respects, he's right. I mean, somebody is shot every 3 hours in certain areas of Chicago. It's a problem. The news isn't covering it. The only news that is really covering it on a regular basis is our news at the top and bottom of every hour. We tell everybody in Chicago how many people were shot this week, this month, and the total for the year. I mean, it's over 600 for the year. So Alex and the producers call me, have me come on the show. And when I heard the news about this Boykin asking for UN peacekeepers, I shared something that happened to me personally in August. When I was driving back from Chicago out to the suburbs, I personally saw a train car traveling over the expressway outside of Chicago, heading from the north to the south. And on top of that train car were UN vehicles. And those are the facts as I know them. Those are the things that I can speak.
Was this before or after the cry for help?
This was in August of this year. So it was well before the cry for help.
Okay.
And that's what my message was to the staff was, I've already seen the vehicles in Chicago. I don't know if they're still here. I don't know where they would put them in the meantime. I've heard rumors and things. Now, today, that conversation that I had with Alex and the news, the actual news, has been contorted and convoluted by lesser websites and fake news organizations and not CNN fake news, but I'm talking about little baby fake news sites. And they're saying that there are troops here and they've taken over this radio station and things like that. What I've just told you is what happened. So if you hear, and that's all I know and can verify that it's happened. I haven't seen troops in Chicago on the ground. I haven't seen vehicles driving around. I saw vehicles transported on a train in August. I heard our air feed cut when Alex was talking about it. And we know that the Cook County Commissioner, Richard Boykin, has asked the UN to come here. Aside from that, I don't have any evidence to suggest that there are UN peacekeepers or representatives here in Chicago right now. I don't have any knowledge of that. I haven't heard that. Have you heard anything of that nature?
I haven't heard anything, but I will tell you this. The taking down of your level on the going out the airwaves is something that we have seen happen before. And that is with the EAS system, which is like the last basic piece of equipment that goes into a radio station. Everything kind of goes through that, and then there's the EAS thing, which could stop. And they use that for so-called emergencies, to broadcast emergencies. Take cover, there's a tornado, a flood's imminent, a volcano, wherever you're at in the world, or at least in the United States, we have an EAS system set up to put out these alerts. And so but by putting in those pieces of equipment, it is possible that there are people listening to your station in real time. And if they don't want information going out in certain areas, they will cut it. So thereby, people in your area can't hear about the UN vehicles. Therefore, they're not looking for them. So then you don't see any. But I haven't seen any reports of UN vehicles coming in at this time or being in Chicago. Your boots on the ground there. I haven't heard from any of our contacts in Chicago of anything, but that doesn't mean something's not happening. Has anybody gone to these areas where, or do people just stay out of those areas if they don't live there in Chicago where the crime rate is so high?
Oh, absolutely. People don't. In fact, the Chicago White Sox baseball stadium is on the south side. That's one of the reasons, even when they were winning, they haven't been winning for years. It's funny, I'm wearing a White Sox t-shirt. They give them away free at the stadium to lure us in there because the neighborhood is so bad around that park. But even when they were winning, they had trouble filling the stadium because that surrounding area is where a lot of the problems are. It's also on the west side of Chicago. So the reality is in the heart of downtown Chicago, everything is great. Everything's beautiful. That's where the skyscrapers are. That's where Trump Tower is. In the suburbs, pretty much everything is great, although there is a trickle out. There is a seepage of carjackings and heroin and other issues that are seeping out into the areas that are not Cook County. And it is getting out of control, and something absolutely has to be done about it. But probably it should be done by Chicago and maybe next the state of Illinois, and maybe worst case scenario, the National Guard. Definitely not the United Nations. And this guy Boykin, the Cook County Commissioner, has no business. It's a treasonous act, in my opinion, to go to a foreign body that has no constitutional authority here in the United States of America, no authority in the state of Illinois, and ask them to intervene. It's just completely ridiculous. And that guy should be voted out as soon as possible.
I agree. And the story has 1,500 comments on InfoWars. Here it is. Commissioner in talks with UN to put troops on the streets of Chicago. The United Nations has a track record of protecting minority populations. It's by Paul Joseph Watson. You can read about the exploits of Richard Boykin, Cook County Commissioner, and what he's trying to do to bring the United Nations to Chicago. We are just shedding a light on that, and therefore people freak out. We'll be back with more. Thanks for watching The War Room. Infowars.com/show is the free stream to send to everyone you know.
The American way of life is under attack.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
Excuse me, I would like to respond to that. The American way of life is racist. Hi, I'm your racist host, Rob Duke, because I'm white. I'm automatically racist. This is the racist war room. You can see we have some white lights on the wall. The Christmas tree is racist because it's white. Everything is racist, everybody. Didn't you know that? We're all just one big racist family. And in fact, the biggest racist, one of the biggest racists out there is Tucker Carlson. And he's come up with a list of 100 racist things. In fact, you could just go to his feed right here. And here at the top, right here on my phone, my racist iPhone, number 100, 100 racist things. Number 99, the Washington Redskins, they are racist. The British monarchy, but not the royal family, is racist. Craft beer, did you know that, ladies and gentlemen? The white foam on craft beer is racist. Shh. Let's continue. McDonald's is racist. The Bible is racist. The biblical root of racism. Not wanting white people to leave college campuses. That's racist. Pollution. Racist. Accurately describing criminal suspects is racist. Climate change is racist. Diabetes is racist. Highways are racist. I don't know if I can continue. Karl Marx is racist. The ugly racism of Karl Marx. That's why so many commies follow him, because he was a racist. Socialism is racist. Capitalism is racist. Othello is racist because it's black and white pieces. English-only education is racist in the United States. It must be. Saying you are English is racist. School discipline is racist. In fact, there are 81 more things that are racist if you follow his feed on Tucker Carlson. At Tucker Carlson. You could see them all there. Everything is racist. You're racist. I'm racist. The lights are racist. This paper is racist. That is the lunacy that we've lived in these past few years with the SJW mindset. It is truly amazing. Well, let's go to another racist report from Tucker Carlson talking about the never-seen statistics proving that illegal aliens commit an massively disproportionate amount of crime. Here it is.
Somehow, the government went for years without honestly trying to track the volume of crime committed by illegal immigrants in this country.
I wonder why.
Maybe they were too incompetent to do it. More likely, they didn't want you to know the answer or to think about it even. In any case, we now for the first time have the actual numbers, and here they are. According to statistics from the U.S. Sentencing Commission, non-citizens are actually far more likely to commit serious crimes than Americans are. Non-citizens account for 22%, more than a fifth, of all federal murder convictions, 18% of fraud convictions, 33% of money laundering convictions, 29% of drug trafficking convictions, and 72% of convictions for drug possession. Meanwhile, the non-citizen percentage of the American population, about 7%. Oh. So that is a massively disproportionate amount of crime.
Statistic.
Not even close. No, immigrants are not more law-abiding and less dangerous than Americans. That's totally untrue. Indeed, it's the opposite of the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to point out these are federal statistics and they're inherently racist. We all know the federal government is inherently racist. It's run by a racist named Donald Trump. And we should condemn reports like these. We should speak our minds and put on pink pussy hats and walk the streets carrying signs. Oh, cartoons of frogs are racist number 50. Expecting people to show up on time is racist. Yes, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost our way as a country. If we all just slit our wrists, maybe then we won't be racist anymore. I mean, can you believe the delusional dimension some of these people are in? And, you know, he lists articles. He puts the articles right there so you can read them. Please go check that out. That is amazing. Good job, Tucker Carlson. How much time do we have left? Oh, let's play this. Let's play President Trump gets a huge ovation at FBI graduation ceremony. They don't seem to have a problem with the fact that he's investigating the criminal elements within the FBI. They don't seem to care. They want him to do something. The reason they joined the FBI was to uphold law and order. Let's go to that video.
Your presence here demonstrates your strong commitment to law enforcement and your strong commitment to the citizens and the communities that we serve. I must tell you, sir, a few days ago, we were assembled here in this auditorium and the announcement was made that you would be attending, and this room erupted with energy.
Now, look at that. The camera wouldn't cut to the people jumping up. And look, they push into Trump's because they don't want, C-SPAN doesn't want you to see this. Probably run by a bunch of racists that don't want you to see Donald Trump getting a standing ovation from the FBI graduating class. See, Attorney if you General were a producer, Sessions, pause that for one second, leadership. Guys. All right, I'm a producer. I go out in the field and do this stuff for a living. As a normal thinking person, you know what I would do? Well, I would turn my phone sideways. That would be the first thing I'd do. But I would pull back. I would show the crowd. I would pan back and forth. Something you never saw from the mainstream media at these Donald Trump events. You never saw it. And you just saw it right there. Let's zoom in. Let's. We don't want to see people standing up in our shot. Can you imagine? It's the FBI graduating class. No, we have to keep the narrative going that Donald Trump hates the FBI and hates law enforcement and is trying to out their leadership when they're the ones trying to go after him. Let's finish the video.
And your commitment to law enforcement, sir. Director Ray, thank you for meeting with us and sharing your thoughts on partnerships and the importance of relationships. We could not agree more, sir. Together, we can accomplish anything. We also want you to know that you have one of the finest training staffs right here at Quantico. Thank you.
Well, it's good to see the graduating class of the FBI support their president and are hopefully ready to come in and do some butt kicking on the sexual trafficking crimes that are going on. And maybe we could get some investigations into Uranium One and, you know, the other things that the Democrats have been doing, colluding with Russia, whatnot. Now, let's go to Seymour Hersh. This is Seymour Hersh describing how the Obama administration completely lied about the bin Laden killing, which we told you on day one.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda.
Really?
Journalist Seymour Hersh is alleging President Barack Obama and his administration lied about the circumstances surrounding the 2011 killing of Osama bin Laden.
You mean they didn't bury him at sea?
Citing an anonymous major U.S. source, Hersh writes in the London Review of Books that the Obama administration cooperated with Pakistani intelligence officials to kill the Al-Qaeda leader. The administration has said they received information on bin Laden's whereabouts by tracking his courier and that the top military target was killed in a firefight with an elite team
That's
of
right.
Navy
SEALs.
That's right.
They said they climbed up. But he was using human shields.
The Obama administration had initially agreed to say bin Laden had been killed by a drone strike, that ISI was holding bin Laden a prisoner at the Abbottabad compound where he was killed, and that a former senior Pakistani intelligence officer told the U.S. of his whereabouts for the $25 million award being offered at the time.
Wow. Well, that's not what you heard from them. And maybe we didn't get all the details right. We heard from Madeleine Albright that he was on ice and that they were going to pull him out at the right time. Maybe they just stuck him in a building and then blew it up. Who knows? One thing we do know is that the government was lying to you about the bin Laden raid. And there we see another example. Now, I've got some big vaccine news coming up. I'm going to end the segment with that. Just give you something to think about over the holiday weekend. Maybe you could chit-chat with your family members there who tell you to go get your flu shot. We'll have more of that, and I think that'll be about it. We might play a John Bowne report if we have time. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dude. Thanks for watching. Infowars.com/show is the free stream to send out to everyone you know. Thanks for watching.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time.
So by signing the tax bill this year, it's going to enable it to take effect in February of next year, instead of waiting a whole year for it to take effect so that people could sit there and browbeat Donald Trump and put out more fake news that he didn't, that his tax plan didn't work, it's not saving anybody any money. They would use that for a year, and he knew that. So he signed it this year. He told everybody it was going to be a Christmas present. He made sure he got it done. He carried the ball across the line. And in February, you're going to notice you have some extra money. Now, before February, please support us. But if you get a little bit of bump in that, definitely consider supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. We're bringing back the 34-hour Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza specials, which include free shipping. And I'm just going to read off the list here. Most of these are 50% off. Some are even higher. Some are a little lower, but they're all great deals. Myco ZX, back in stock, 25% off with free shipping. Supermail Vitality, 50% off. Silver Bullet, 67% off. Are you worried about the flu? It's a good thing to have some Silver Bullet on hand. And now it's about, I think it's like right under $10. I mean, it's an amazing deal. BrainForce Plus, 50% off. Alpha Power, 50% off. Cell Force, 50% off. Survival Shield X2, 50% off. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, 50% off. The Real Red Pill, all Super Blue products, 50% off. Secret 12, 50% off. InfoWars Life Select Storable Food, 50% off. DNA Force, 33% off. ProPure products, which is your water filtration, which you have to have, 25% off and free shipping. Carnivore and Floral Life, 33% off with free shipping. All these free shipping in our store. Go right now Check it out. The 34-hour Christmas Spectacular Extravaganza. Those specials are back online just in time for, you know, after Christmas sales or anything else you may want to do. Because I don't think we can get it to you by in time for Christmas at this point, because that will be Monday. But I want to end this. Well, I do have some breaking news as well. Look at this. Sessions orders DOJ review after report of Obama administration gave Hezbollah a pass. Wow. Who would have thunk it? Exclusive. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is launching a review of the law enforcement initiative called Project Cassandra after an investigative report was published this week claiming the Obama administration gave a free pass to Hezbollah drug trafficking and money laundering operations to ensure the Iran nuclear deal would stay on track. The Justice Department said in a statement to Fox News that Sessions on Friday directed a review of prior DEA investigations to evaluate the allegations that certain matters were not properly prosecuted and to ensure that all matters were appropriately handled. Yes, I guess anything has to do with drugs. Sessions is right on top of it. But at least he is waking up to some extent. So let's hope 2018 is the year Jeff Sessions awakens or he just gets out of the way. Now, I want to end with these last 7 minutes or so talking about some vaccine news. This is out of a publication called Stat. Experts call for Sanofi's dengue fever vaccine to be halted in most cases. The world's first dengue vaccine should be temporarily suspended, except in limited circumstances, because of concerns that it could put some people at heightened risk of severe disease, according to prominent health experts. That step, they say, is necessary after studies show the vaccine manufactured by Sanofi Pasteur may have the unfortunate effect of worsening rather than preventing future cases of dengue in some people who have not been infected with it. Had another spot here that I was interested in reading. Where did I put it? Oh, maybe I didn't do it on this article. But basically what they're saying is that, and what you see in most cases, MMR, DPT, the vaccine causes symptoms, and they're listed as side effects in the vaccine of the disease they're supposed to prevent, the safe and effectiveness. So they say it should only be given to people who have been previously sickened with dengue, and it should be allowed in places where people have been sickened. So, but they say don't give it to a kid younger than 9. So they want to pull it off the market because it's not working, because it's causing the disease. And you know, if they're saying it, that it's causing the disease, it's not just one or two times. It's hundreds of times. And so they're trying to cover this up by pulling it off the market. Now, let's jump to Australia. Flu 2017, why skipping the vaccine is a bad idea. This year, Australia suffered a record number of flu infections, and as some experts concerned that the U.S. will suffer a harsh flu season as well. So, of course, you have peak influenza season, which starts in December and goes through February. But they say it can continue up until May, and we've got to get our flu shot. But now this year, it's the H3N2, which they're saying the vaccine is only 10% effective. And they admit all this. And they say the best way to not get the flu is to take this flu vaccine. Historically, H3N2 is the worst type of influenza A strain, even worse than H1N1. Right now, approximately 78% of the early strains circulating appear to be H3N2. Last year, the flu vaccine was 42% effective. And they say, what makes it so tough to make flu vaccines? One of the best ways to prevent the flu is through vaccination. But sometimes the vaccine fails due to a mismatch of the virus. And they're saying this year it's 10%. And only about 40% of adults in the U.S. received the flu vaccine. And although the effectiveness of the flu vaccine is unknown, the vaccine remains a valuable public health tool. And it's always better to get vaccinated than not, because that is who pays our bills. It's the pharmaceutical company. So, of course, we have to put out their propaganda. Here's what they don't want you to see. Mother of two, 34, claims she was left blind, diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and covered in a rash after receiving the flu jab, and fears she may never recover. Now, how old is this lady? Oh, 34 years old. Jennifer Whitney was diagnosed with MS just weeks after her flu shot. She was forced by her boss to have the flu shot and then sacked for taking time off work. How do you like that? Oh, and listen to these loving symptoms. They include her hair falling out, blisters all over her face and body, and she was left blind for 10 months and unable to conceive. Doctors have confirmed her immune system was attacked her brain and nerves. A naturopath believes MS was likely to have been caused by the vaccine. Now, guys, I want you to scroll to some of the... Here's a picture of her before. All right, now let's go to the next picture, and then you see her rash. Oh, look at that. That's safe and effective, people. That's what they mean when they say safe and effective. Here she is having unbearable headaches, and her dizziness intensifies. The MRI was awful, and then she was told she developed multiple sclerosis. The doctors explained her immune system was attacking her brain and nervous system, which meant she needed immediate treatment. And here, can vaccines cause multiple sclerosis? A JAMA neurology study in 2014 and an MS specialist reviewed the medical records of nearly 800 people who have been diagnosed with the demyelinating disorder of the brain and spinal cord and found no connection between vaccines and MS. Of course they did. The vaccines don't do anything wrong. Even though this lady has this horrible rash and her hair is falling out and she has MS now after getting the flu shot. It was spontaneous. It was spontaneous MS. You see, that had nothing to do with the vaccine. This lady has a mental illness. She doesn't trust her doctors. Maybe we ought to take her away. No, we're going to sack her from her job because she went and got the flu shot like she was supposed to. This is the insanity of the pharma industrial complex that thinks all you should be doing is getting your flu shot. Now, I don't have time for the John Bowne report. I was going to see if I had any other time for anything else. I didn't take your calls. I didn't do anything. So I'm just going to end it on this. Oh, go ahead, Marcos. Marcos wants to jump in. He's our lead technical director out there. What's going on, Marcos?
So I had this story last night. When I left the office, I was listening to the public radio. It's marked control room. Oh, you got it. Harrison's lining me up. I just ditched the switcher and left him on there. I was like, I got to say something. I told him before we went to break, or before we came back from break, about this story. I'm listening to the public radio, okay, and they had this show on with these girls. Hard selling vaccines.
You must take real your vaccinations.
Hard, right? And they spend about a third of their program just on Gardasil. And all guilt. So they would brush over, some people with fake concerns are trying to convince the public not to get vaccinated. How horrible. But they did a really good job of guilting me because, you know, I have daughters and they were talking about the Gardasil and they were like shaming. How dare you not protect your children from future cases of possible cancer? And, you know, I'm well versed on the subject now, working next to you for years. And so I'm well versed, but even in their sales pitch, like I was starting to feel little tinges of guilt, like, yeah, why wouldn't I protect my child against cancer?
What you were experiencing, Marcos, is called programming. And that's what they try to do. Exactly. They try to fear you into things. They try to use your emotions, manipulate you with the emotions. That's how it's all done. So remember this Christmas season when your family or your friends are trying to manipulate you with emotions. Remember, read the damn insert. That's all I got to say. Thanks for watching.